for Jesus tonight, how he saved you. We're going to praise him. So glad for the life that he gives us. I was lost with a broken heart. You picked me up and now I'm set apart. From the ash I was born again. Forever safe in the Savior's hands. You are more than my words can say. I'll follow you, Lord, for all my days. Fix my eyes, following your ways. Forever free in unending grace. 'Cause you are, you are. You sent your son down and set me free. Everything of this world will fade. I'm pressing on till I see your face. I will live that your will be done. I won't stop till your kingdom come. You are all we need.
To thank him for that love, thank him for that victory.
still in your hand. This is my confidence. Never fail me, yeah. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me, yeah.
How many of you are so thankful for the faithfulness of Jesus? I love that song. I love that chorus. That he moves mountains for you. We talked about that this morning. That he moves mountains for you. So I think we need to sing that one more time, that bridge right there. And we need to get our spirit stirred up, because whatever's in your way, it can be moved in Jesus' name. So all over this place, just lift up your hands and come on, just declare that over your life right now in Jesus' name. Sing it out.
See you move. You move the mountains. And I believe.
Come on, your mountain can be moved right now in Jesus' name.
He made a way.
He makes a way
where there is no way. And I believe. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet.
No, I was just thinking about Moses. And he was standing in front of the Red Sea. And he was trying to figure out how he was going to get the Israelites across, right? The enemy was right behind him. Can you imagine how he must have felt looking at that Red Sea? I mean, that was an impossible situation. But he found a way through who? Through Jesus Christ. He said, the Lord said, stop talking about it and lift up your staff. And when he did it, when he acted upon it, the path, a dry path, was provided for him. And if he could do that for Moses, he can do that for you tonight. So whatever it is, I'm telling you, you give it to Jesus, and he will work a miracle on your behalf in Jesus' name. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. God, we thank you for your presence that is here. God, we know that you move mountains, that you are a faithful God. We are expecting great things to happen here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you are seated, why don't you go around and just, you can high five, you can hug. I mean, you can just go greet a few people, okay? Go ahead. That you are here, and if this is your first time, you are our guest, and we are so thankful that you are here. So in front of you on the seat back, there is a connection card that you can take and fill it out, and in just a couple minutes when the ushers come up, you can stick that in there, and we're just going to get in contact with you. And maybe you've been here for a while, but you haven't got involved in a ministry, and you'd like to do that. There's a card, a Next Steps card, that's right in front of you as well. If you would take that and fill it out, we'll connect with you. Now let me tell you, I have a whole list of announcements. So are you guys ready? Are you ready for it? There's like five of them. All right, I know it's a lot, but there's a lot of good things going on around here, and that's good, right? You can say a big strong amen to that. Okay, so announcement number one is August 4th. The kids on the move are going to go biking for Haiti. This is very exciting. This is the first time that we have ever done this. So it's up the road at Faith Bible College. And as Paul said this morning, they have these sponsor sheets and they are going to be coming around and asking you for money. I told them out in Kids on the Move a couple weeks ago that you just go up to them and you kind of bat your eyes and say, can you pretty please sponsor me? It's very hard to say no to kids when they do that. But this is for a great cause. We are raising money to build a church, a food distribution center in Jerusalem, Haiti. So the youth department is all coming together to raise $12,000. So we're really excited about this, that the kids can be involved, the teenagers, the smaller teenagers, all the way up to the big teenagers. So this is good. Okay, so mark your calendar for August 4th. Okay, and then number three, say number three. Okay, empowering education. So starting August 5th, we are going to start pulling in some different supplies for the schools. And you can find the entire list at cchurch11a.info. I hope I got that right. I think that's where you go. So you go on there, you find the entire list. And for that day, we're going to be collecting backpacks and glue sticks. And I am able to go out with Darcy, and we go and we deliver, and Jamie, we've been doing it. We go out and we deliver these supplies to the schools, and it's amazing their response. So we say thank you to all of you that participate with that. Okay, our next announcement is Mothers of Faith Barbecue. This is August 9th, and it's at Doris Washburn's camp. And then the last one is the Hike for Haiti. So this is the Soul Fire group, and maybe the Ignite group, I think, might get involved with it. And they are going to go hike Borstone Mountain in Mount Katahdin. So I was telling the church a few weeks ago how I had a really bad experience in Mount Katahdin. So teenagers, you are going to have a blast. It will be really fun. You just don't want to go down Knife's Edge. That's all. That's all I'm going to say. That's my advice on it. But ushers, if you want to come down, we're going to take up this evening's offering and tithe and offering. And, you know, I was just thinking about the empowering education. And in a few weeks, how we're going to see this altar filled with different supplies. How many of you have seen that when we come in? And it's just, it's amazing to see what the church body can do and how we can influence our community. So we just want to say thank you for being such a giving church. When you give tonight, you can see the results of this with the supplies, with the different events that we're able to do, and how lives are changed all over this world. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to give. God, we know that you are a God of multiplication, that as we give here tonight, that you want to just bless that to every single person here, every family. Lord, we thank you that we can take part in so many great things that are happening all over this community. And Lord, I pray that every single person here will be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, it is Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole. Oh, Jesus, it is Jesus.
your feet tonight. We're going to sing this before Paul comes to preach the word.
Oh, it is Jesus, wonderful Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garments, and his blood has made me whole. Oh, it is Jesus, wonderful Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garments, and his blood has.
Oh, come on, sing it again. Oh, it is Jesus.
Oh, it is Jesus, wonderful Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garments, and his blood has made me.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to start right there. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I asked my wife to sing this song. Number one, because I like it a lot. And number two, because it goes along with what I'm speaking tonight. And you'll see.
And his blood.
Just not in my key. No, I'm good. I'm good. They like you singing better than me anyway. That's a quiet amen, but it's an amen. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Father, I pray that you will bless this word to our hearts. God, may we be hearers and doers of the word. God, as we go about our lives, giving glory to Jesus in your name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give God a big amen and hit the seats. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. This Acts chapter 2 verses 1 to 4 is kind of where it all starts for us Pentecostals, men and women of the Spirit. This is where it begins. The church begins right here. Jesus did what he needed to do. He died, he rose again, he left, he sent the comforter, the counselor down, filled, baptized, empowered his people to do things they couldn't do before. Men and women grew bolder and more powerful, and they took the message of the cross, and they took the message of hope, of freedom, of liberty. Man, I am just blah, 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 bubble language tonight. They took this message to the four corners of this earth and beyond. And that same spirit that was working in them so many years ago is the same spirit that works in us even today, if you want him to. I believe we can resist the Holy Spirit. I believe that's in our doctrine. That we can say no and he'll move on to somebody else. But you know, if you want to move through the Holy Ghost and move in his power and his authority, it's totally up for grabs for anybody who calls Jesus their Savior. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each one of us and it quickens our mortal body. That same spirit that Jesus used to cast out demons and set people free is the same spirit that has been empowered and in placed on his church and on us. The powerful spirit of a living God. Peter said to them, Acts chapter 1, verse 38 to 39. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you
and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The promise is for us. We are called to be part of this mighty move of the Holy Spirit. It has not passed us by. If you are not filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's not because God doesn't love you, and it's not because he's not going to. Let's just receive it tonight. Let's just receive it in our walk. I know I've had friends that told me that they've prayed for hours in an altar and didn't feel like they received it. But that night in their bed at home, they started speaking in tongues because the power of God moves. He still moves today. Amen? We are unashamedly Pentecostal, spirit-filled people who rely on the moving of the Holy Spirit, ready to empower us, change lives, break chains. After all, the Spirit spoke to Zechariah the prophet long ago in Zechariah 4, verse 6. He said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." And that's how things get done in the kingdom of God. Tonight, I'm not actually speaking on any of that. That's just free. But that's a good foundation for what I want to speak about. Because when the day of Pentecost happened, we read in the book of 1 Corinthians, in fact, we just read it this week, for those of you who are following along with the 90-day, we read it this week that there was over 500 people who were witnesses to the resurrected Jesus. Over 500 people. And yet, on the day of Pentecost, there was only 120 there. Now, I don't know. There's no stories about what they did, if they had to go home, if they had laundry, or had to get their hair done that day. I'm not sure their stories or excuses. But for some of them, they thought there was something better to do than wait. You see, they might have been there to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it doesn't mean they were there. You see, a lot of us can be there, but not really there. And so I've entitled this message, There or There. What in the world are you talking about? I wonder the same thing sometimes. The best way for me to show, to just illustrate this really quickly is, as a sports fan, I've been to baseball games and hockey games, and I've been to actually an NFL game, which was really fun. And I don't even like football, but it was a blast. And I was there. I saw everything. I cheered on. Pastor Ward and I went to a conference in North Carolina, and it just happened to be on a Thursday, and it was the year after the New York Giants won the Super Bowl, and they were in town against the Panthers. Back when the Giants were good and the Panthers were bad, now they're just both awful. But that's okay, that's not part of the story. And so he twisted my arm a little bit, and he was like, "When are you ever going to get a chance to do this again? Come on, let's go down and get some tickets." And we got tickets, and I never told my wife how much they cost. It was a long time ago. It's all under the blood now. Praise the Lord. Actually, I think I did. It was a good amount of money. And your leader made me do it, just so you know. He made me do it. But we got the tickets, and I was pretty excited. Not a football fan, but I enjoy watching sporting events. I mean, I'd even go see soccer live if someone gave me a ticket. Because I'd rather watch them get the field ready than the game itself. But hey, that's okay. That's just me. So I sat we had amazing seats. We were in the upper bowl, but we were the first row, right on like the 45, 50-yard line, right in the middle. We saw everything. I saw them go back. I saw them throw. I saw the plays come together. Man, I was there. But I wasn't there. I was here in this there. I watched the game. I was a spectator in the game. I enjoyed the plays. I enjoyed the athleticism. I enjoyed the hits. I enjoyed the touchdowns, the light show, the fireworks, the cheering, the drunk people down the street, down the road yelling at each other. And I was like, this is wild. But I might have been there, but I wasn't actually there. Because it's different when you're in it. It's different when you're on the field. And I can say that as a person who played Little League Baseball. Because it's the same thing when you are 10, 11 years old and you're on the field. And you might as well be in front of 50,000 people because you're there. But all the fans, the parents, everybody there, they're just there. They're not really there. You see what I'm saying? You can be there without being there. And the question you need to ask ourselves, and we need to ask ourselves, is where are we with Christ? Am I there? Just an observer of God's goodness? A Christian watcher? Looking at and enjoying the reactions of people, enjoying the people themselves, enjoying the traditions and the things we've always done? Am I just there? Or am I a Christian who's there? In the middle of every move, open and receptive to whatever God has next for me. Am I on the field or am I just in the stands? Am I there or am I there? That's a tough question we need to ask ourselves sometimes. And we're going to dive into that a little bit more tonight. And the reason I had Heather sing this song is because I want you to turn to Mark chapter 5, verses 24 to 34. And I want to read to you this story. It's an incredible story. Woman with the issue of blood. We don't even know her name. Isn't it amazing how nameless people can change the world? Isn't it amazing that nobody knows this woman's name, but Jesus changed her life and she's been changing other people's lives for 2,000 years? Isn't that amazing? It's because she was there, not there. Confusion? Yes, I like it. And a great crowd followed him, Jesus, and they thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Verse 26. And who had suffered much under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now, if you look at the scriptures in verse 24, it says the crowds followed him and thronged around him. This wasn't three or four people. This was hundreds of people that were just surrounded by the Lord. How the precedent of that is when Jesus was speaking, he spoke to over 5,000 people when he fed them with, you know, loaves and fishes. Hundreds and hundreds, potentially more, thronged, surrounded, smothered Jesus as he was walking on this road. And this woman, an outcast, and all the stuff that we were going to talk about in just a minute, saw Jesus in the middle of the crowd and said, "That's something I want to be there. I don't want to just be here. I want to be there." So the scripture verse kind of just, you read it, sometimes you just think, you know, she went in there. She had to make a plan of attack. She had to use her elbow anointing and just move them back and forth. And she just had to run through with her head down until she reached the man she wanted to reach. It was a big crowd, and the crowd wanted something different than she wanted. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But she did it. She heard the reports and she came and touched his garment, for she said, "If I touch his garment, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Verse 30. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And the disciples said to him, "You see the crowds pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around again to see who had done it. But the woman, listen to this, the woman, knowing, verse 33, what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Here's a little free nugget for you. She received her healing, but her mindset wasn't changed. Sometimes we can receive a touch from God in our body, but our mindset doesn't change. We still feel like we're not worthy. We still feel like we're not well. We still feel like we don't deserve it. We still feel like we're a nobody or a leftover. And she came to Jesus after receiving this and immediately felt like she did something wrong. She came with fear and trembling. What good is a healed body if our mind doesn't go with it? And I'm telling you, when Jesus touches your body, he touches your entire body. Your mind, your soul, your spirit, everything that's in you, he's willing to touch. And then Jesus looked at this woman who was scared, who was worried because of what the crowd kept saying, because of what the law said about her, because of what everything said about her. She was nervous to talk to Jesus because she made him stop. She did something that he recognized. What's going to happen to me? And Jesus said to her, "Daughter," which is reestablishing that she's part of a family. She's no longer stuck. She's no longer lost. She's no longer an outcast. She's part of the family. "Daughter, you were once something else. Yeah, I healed your body. Now let's fix your mind. I healed your body. Now let's fix your soul. Let's fix your thought process. Let's fix what's going on between your ears. Because I can touch your body easy enough, but let's fix that mind too." One word, daughter. Because for 12 years, she was called a lot of other names. For many theologians believe it was some sort of sexually transmitted disease. We won't go any further than that, but because of that, she was an outcast, a nobody, a nothing. But Jesus looked at her and said, "Daughter, I healed your body, and I'm going to heal your mind. Go and leave your life of sin." He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your diseases." This is such a great story. There's so many different places you can go when you want to speak about the woman with the issue of blood. But let's just talk about being there or being there. All right? The crowds. Everybody say the crowds. The crowd was there with Jesus. The crowd was there, right? Thronged about him. But the woman was there with Jesus. All right? The crowd might have been there with Jesus, but the woman was there with Jesus. So many times we get to there, but it takes a few more steps of faith to really get there. It takes sacrifice. It takes discipline. It takes pushing yourself beyond what you thought you could do sometimes to get there. What's the difference between me in the nosebleed, well, in that 500 level on the 50-yard line, and those like athletes on the field? Well, there's a lot of differences. Generally about 4 inches and 45 pounds of muscle, usually. But there's a lot of differences between what they invested and what I invested versus, you know, I invested enough to give some money to somebody so I could get a seat and be there. They invested blood, sweat, and tears for years and sacrificed for years so they could walk through that tunnel and play on that field. That crowd didn't invest what that woman invested. That's how come she got there, but the crowd was only there. There's a huge difference. The people were there to see Jesus. They heard about all the things he did, and it drove curiosity so much that they showed up to see what he was all about. But just seeing about Jesus is evidence that we may not mean business. What do I mean? Are you going to church tonight? I'll see. Are you going to prayer? I'll see. Am I going to read the Bible today? I'll see. Am I going to go minister to that person? I'll see. I'll see. I'll see. They went to see about Jesus. I'll see what he's all about. I'll see if he is what he says he is. I'll see. Coming to see about Jesus makes you no different than me in that stadium in North Carolina, just a spectator. That's not God's intention for you and me. That's not God's design for you and me. The only people who are in the grandstands in our life are those that have gone before, according to Hebrews chapter 12. They are the great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. But if you've got a heart beating and a breathing coming out of your mouth, you are not meant to be in the grandstands. You are meant to be right in the middle of there. Right in the middle of where God has called you to be. There. Everybody say there. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, that I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. God is not looking for us to be associated with him. He wants us to be connected to him. Connected. This is my family. This is, come here, Nate. Yeah, you weren't paying attention to me anyway, so you might as well come up. I'm just kidding. You did a good job. Come here. I like to think that we got a good family, right?
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah. We look alike, don't we?
Yes.
Original. But you see this? We're connected. There are people all over this area that may be the same age. They may have the same, even characteristics, passions, likes, dislikes as my son. But I don't know them, so they don't get anything from me. I have people that I'm associated with that have kids, but I don't really know them. I'm just like, I know them. I've been to their church once or twice, and I don't give them gifts. I don't really call them that much. They're just associate. You see, when you are associate with God, you are just there. When you associate yourself, that means, are you going to church? I'll see. You see, when we associate ourselves with God, it doesn't mean we're bad people. It just means we haven't really connected to God like we should. He is not associated with me. He is connected to me. He is mine. He is connected to me. I can pull him down and he'll have to love me. I can throw him. You know, I'm just kidding. He is my son, connected to me. Everything that I have, he has. Everything that I want to give him, he can receive if he's willing to. He can be better than I am. He can be everything that I want him to be is better than me. But when you connect yourself to Christ, it's like connecting to something that you'll never want to let go of, something that you will receive the same things as well. You are not just a cousin to Jesus. You are not just a friend from down the road. You are an heir with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. That's what it means to be there. But we sometimes settle for just being associates. Jesus, we treat Jesus like a step cousin from the other side of the world we see once every 10 years. And the crowd came to Jesus wanting to see if he was worth their time. Though they got excited about it. But only one person was really there, was really connected. Thanks, bud. See, the crowd was there to see Jesus, but the woman was there to touch Jesus. There's a big difference. I am the vine and you are the branches, and if you stay connected to me, you will bear much fruit. They were there to see the Lord. She was there to touch the Lord. See, she wasn't just at the end of her rope. She was at the end of her hope. She had nothing left. But her mindset wasn't like the crowd. They said that Jesus was intriguing, so let's go see him. She said that Jesus was mighty, and I need mighty. I need what he has. And if I could just touch his garment, then I could get there. Well, she got there. And she got her miracle. Are you ready for a miracle? She got her miracle. Because she got there. She had a different mindset than the crowd, and she got her miracle. And tonight, you know, it's kind of anticlimactic. Whoa, she just went right to it, didn't she? Yeah, I did just go right through it. She got her miracle. It's over. Go home. But that's my point is not so much that she got her miracle. What I want to show you is how she got there and how we can get there and how we can stay there. How she got to there while everybody else was just there, but she got there. She got capital T-H-E-R-E in the presence of God, where God did miracles to her, but nobody else. How did that happen? Let me tell you, so you can live that kind of life too. Number one, everybody say number one. The first thing she had was expectation. Expectation. Mark chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. She had heard the reports about Jesus, came up behind him in the crowd, touched his garment, for she said, even if I touch his garment, I will be made well. Expectation. The reports of Jesus didn't just incite a little curiosity with this woman. It incited faith that couldn't be contained. So much that she made a trip. She gathered around a large group of people when she's not really supposed to. And she said, forget about it. I'm going after it. Because something is different about him. Mark chapter 5, verse 25, 26 tells us that she was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And she suffered much under the hands of physicians and spent all that she had, and she was no better off, but she grew worse. This woman made a living, 12-year span of doing things one way. She trusted the system. She trusted in men, treatment after treatment, cost after cost, but she ended up with nothing but a broken body, a lost hope, and ultimately an unclean life. That's what she was. The promise of hope from the world gave her nothing but destruction. And 12 years later, she had to wrap herself up in a cloak, probably had to yell out unclean like everybody else does, because the law says if you're bleeding like that, then you are unclean and have to be removed from the camp. She was an unclean person. I know we've all been to those places where we're promised something that changes us. We're promised that this pill is going to make us thin. Well, case in point, it doesn't always work. Hallelujah. I know we're promised all kinds of things and we go there with high hopes and then it gets shattered. We're promised sometimes a promotion that we get overlooked. We're promised. And what happens when we put our hope in man's promises? We end up like this woman with the issue of blood. Our livelihood, our hope, our dreams, everything we've wanted dashed to nothing. But something happens when you hear about Jesus. Something happens. But until we all realize how much we need a Savior, like she realized she needed a Savior, we'll always be just like the crowd, walking around Jesus, getting nothing but little goosebumps. Jesus sounds nice. Let's see. Well, Luke 7, 47 says, "Therefore I tell you, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." We need to get back to a place where we remember what it was like to be stuck. You know, I'm 36 years old now. Been here now, which still feels kind of weird to me, but I've been here now going on, will be 14 years next year, so 13 years. 13 years. I've lived here more than I've lived anywhere. Like, I've lived in this town in Bradford. So my face is all red. I was trying to rope some pigs yesterday, and I got really burnt. But I've lived here longer than I've lived in any one place. I've lived 4 years here, 7 years here, 6 years there. But I've lived here longer. So this is my home. This is where I'm from. And for the life of me, I have to go back up here because I have no idea what I'm talking about right now. That was awesome. Oh, okay, I remember what I was going to say. Praise the Lord. I've done well. I'll just brag on the Lord a little bit. You know, we have a good life, right, Heather? We always felt we were the spoiled, rotten brats of Jesus. We were God's spoiled brats. I remember being, hi online, how are you guys doing? It's the red light. I remember when we were dating, I was Canadian, I still am. I guess that didn't change yet. But, you know, I couldn't work because that's illegal, and I am not an illegal immigrant. I am a legal one. Dun, dun, dun. And we loved each other and we wanted to do ministry together, but I couldn't get her a ring. And I was just like, oh, what am I going to do? So I was actually thinking about, like, not going to school the next year and working, coming back and all that stuff. And I just, you know, I was just kind of like, I didn't know what I was going to do because I just didn't have anything. I didn't have enough money really to pay for school the next 2 years of my school year. And so we were on tour. And as we were on tour doing a camp, running around like crazy people, you know, I had to do some ungodly things. They weren't ungodly. They were just disgusting. I had to eat a piece of a carrot out of a kiddie pool full of beef stew that had been stepped in all day because it was teen camp. And that's what you do in teen camp. So, Kelly, good luck. Enjoy yourself. And I remember struggling with this and wondering what was going to happen. And then I saw this guy walking across the field, just like this, like happy and excited. And he was the director of development of the school. And he came to me and Heather, and he said, "Next year, Heather, you're going to run the whole music department. And Paul, you're going to help her as an intern. And the school is going to cover your next 2 years of school." Boom, done, gone. It's like, praise God. Hallelujah. I was like, awesome. And then I was just kind of getting a little bit excited. And then a couple days later, weeks later, a student came up to me and he said, "Paul, you and Heather belong together." I said, "Thank you. Appreciate that. Didn't need a sign, but I'll take it, you know." But then he said, "So I want to pay for your engagement ring and your wedding rings." And I was like, "Yep, you can do that." And then other things happened and we were able to get it. And this guy helped us out. And we had some help out some other ways as well. But we always felt that we were kind of like the Lord's spoiled brats because good things happened to us. We have, you know, I wanted a girl. We was the first girl born in my family in like 50 years. And boom, Hannah. There she is over there, loving it. And then we had three boys who were great. And then I said, "No more, for heaven's sake, no more." And we're having no more. It's great. So sometimes what I'm getting at is sometimes I find it difficult for real to go back to the point where I'm like, I was a wretched sinner. Okay? But until we get to the points at times where we realize how much we needed a Savior, sometimes it's hard to get there. Because we feel like everything's going well. Everything's going good. I hear people struggle in their marriages. I really do. And we pray for you. And there's awesome resources out there. But my wife and I, we don't. Do we struggle? Like, we don't. And every time we have a marriage seminar, I'm like, are we okay? And we're like, yeah, okay. That's it. We don't fight. We talk. We don't argue. She looks at me sometimes like this, and I shut up, and we stop, and we're good. And we're good. It's wonderful. But it's easy. Our relationship is easy. Our family is easy. It's a blessing of the Lord. And so sometimes for me to go back to look at where I was, a dirty, rotten sinner, sometimes it can get hard because my pride gets in the way and says, you know what, I'm doing well. But until I humble myself and realize that without Jesus, I would have nothing, I can never really get there. This woman had expectations because she had nothing left. Nothing left. She said, I've tried everything there is and nothing worked. But there's a man who can. But there's a man who's opened blind eyes. There's a man who raised dead bodies. There's a man who set the demonics free. There's a man walking in this town that can change my life, and I desperately need him. Desperation turns to expectation. Expectation turns to faith. Faith turns to action. And action is her pushing through the crowd to touch the garment of the man who can. And until we remember how much we need a Savior, sometimes it's hard for us to do that. But let me tell you, before we get too high on ourselves, you need Jesus tonight. You need him every day. You need him every moment. You need him all the time. So let's talk about expectations. Heather, if you can come on up and get ready to play. Man, I tell you, the woman burst through a massive crowd and touched Jesus. Mark chapter 5. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately, the rest of the band came up too, immediately turned to the crowd and he said, who touched my clothes? Who touched my garment? And the disciples said, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? You see the crowd pressing around you, and you say, who touched me? Come here, Christian. I want you to come here for a second. I don't want to do the whole tons of crowd people, because everybody would have to come up and be a part of this. But this is basically what Jesus went through. As he was walking, people were clawing at him, reaching at him all over. Every which way you can touch, Jesus was being that. Why? Because he was the flavor of the month for a lot of these people. They were excited. They were legitimately excited, but they were excited to see him. And they touched him all over, everywhere, just trying to reach him. Why? Probably so they can go home and say, I touched him. Kind of like today, where people see a superstar, take a picture with them and say, look who I met. It was like Instagram before Instagram. It was Instagram in the first century when there was no cameras and no electricity. It was, I touched him. I was with him and I touched him. Stay put. So what I'm saying is that the woman wasn't the only one to touch Jesus, but she was the only one who stopped Jesus in his tracks. He was touched by potentially hundreds of people, and he walked and he was talking and teaching, and they touched him. Probably grabbed at him a little bit, and he just kind of kept walking, doing his own thing, and he was walking. But then something different happened. Someone reached down and grabbed the bottom, and he stopped. He was touched by hundreds of people and nothing happened. One broken woman reached out and touched the bottom of his garment and he stopped in his tracks. Everybody touched Jesus, but only one person stopped him. That tells me that hundreds of people went into that situation with no expectation for anything to happen other than to be connected with something big. But one person said, I'm going to be with someone big. I'm going to be connected. I'm going to be transformed by somebody big. And when she touched him, immediately the Bible says everything was better. That's what expectation does to a believer. When you get into the presence of the Lord and you're broken and you're hurting and you're stuck and you shouldn't be because you're a Christian and you know that. You know that I shouldn't be on this because Jesus died for me. And the Bible says that he died and shed his blood for our transgressions and our soul and our spirit. And he got stripes on his back for our body and our healing. Why do I struggle with all this stuff still? You know you shouldn't. And you're like, why? Expectation that God is going to transform you is what makes a big difference. How many people in that crowd of people could have left with the same story that this woman had? But they were satisfied with, oh, I saw Jesus one day. I saw him once. I like hanging out with people sometimes and they tell me their celebrity stories. Oh, I saw him. He was in the airport. Yeah, there was 15 people around him. I went to get an autograph, but he yelled at me. But I saw him. It was great. It was so great. That's where we need to change our mentality with the Lord. It's not about just seeing. It's about connecting and never letting go. Just like my son, you become connected to Christ and your ailments run. Your fear goes away. Your struggles become his struggles and they become less and less and less and you begin to walk the free life with the Lord. Have you stopped Jesus in his tracks lately? Have you stopped Jesus in his tracks lately? Everybody was touching Jesus, but only one person stopped him. Have you stopped Jesus lately? Thanks, man. I have a bunch more. Unfortunately, I'm not going to go there. I want us to stay here. Because I see this picture in my head so clearly of just people in the crowd thinking they're so important, so awesome, and so wonderful, walking with the Lord, saying, look who I'm with. Look who you see me with this person. See me. Look at that. Look at me. But leaving, maybe feeling encouraged, maybe feeling a little bit excited, but then going home the same way they came in. I think it's not the Lord's will, but I think it happens all the time. People come into church buildings one way and they leave the exact same way. But they were encouraged. They were inspired. But they didn't expect God to change their life. They never made Jesus stop. They just watched it, enjoyed it, and went home. And I'm here to tell you, that does not have to be your testimony anymore. Never once again does that ever have to be your testimony. You can come into the presence of the Lord every time these doors are open and make Jesus stop because of your expectation. You're in need. Jesus has the answer. Make him stop. You have a sickness or a disease, he has the answer. Make him stop. Your family's a mess, you don't know what to do, he has the answer. Make him stop. Your faith, your expectation will do it. I want everybody to close your eyes and bow your head tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus, wonderful Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole. Oh, it's Jesus, wonderful Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul.
touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole.
How many here would say that you have something going on in your life that you need Jesus to stop for? Sometimes it's difficult to stand out. It's easier to sit with the crowd and just do what they do. But I'm here to ask you, is there anybody here that would simply say, I have something going on in my life that I need Jesus to stop and help me with? Just raise your hand. Is there anybody here that would say that? I got something in my life right now that I need Jesus to stop. Real high. Everybody stand up. I'm going to invite those folks that put their hand up. I want you to come down to this altar. And we're going to come together and we're going to pray and we're going to lay hands on you and believe that Jesus is going to meet your need right now. So come on down front as we sing this song again.
Oh, it is Jesus. Wonderful Jesus.